Good afternoon, everybody, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Registrar Stakeholder Group meeting. We are proud to announce the arrival the return of SVG. SVG, Stefan van Gelder, everybody. Whoa! I bet you didn't get that kind of response elsewhere, did you, Stefan? Admit it.
More of a two-letter, two-word kind of response, you know. Starts with an F and ends with a U.
It's nice to see that you're at least recognise how people recognise you. Okay, Stefan is going to talk to us about some French thing. I mean, he is pretending to be French. And hopefully it's somehow interesting and fast, and he will make it all very relevant to us. Isn't that right, Stefan?
No, I didn't promise it would be interesting.
Oh, okay, sorry. He's going to talk to us about something very, very boring, and we won't let him present to us ever again if we all fall asleep. Over to you, Stefan.
Thank you, Michele. Just a question about the slides. Who's got them?
Jennifer?
Jen? Where is Jen?
She's not here.
This used to be better organized.
It's your time.
That's right. It's going to be tough to present without slides, but...
Stefan,
you will manage.
Since when have you lost the ability to speak? When did this happen? Is this since you went over to the dark side?
I love the BC. So, the slides are coming up, look. Let's just wait for those to come up. And I'm about to talk to you about one of the new GTLD applicants' projects that is probably one of the most innovative, or at least different, in that it's not something that was designed to sell domain names or register domain names directly, but rather as an ecosystem, an entire ecosystem in itself. Can I have a bit of quiet, please, from some of the unruly Germans?
Excuse me, Stefan, please do not insult our members. That's the prerogative of the chair.
Okay, so just waiting for those slides to come up.
He doesn't know which ones, which file.
But you were saying not selling any domain names? How is
hang
that
on,
interesting?
Hang on, Volker, calm down.
It's to celebrate the 15 years of the Registrar Stakeholder Group. We literally had cake. No metaphors intended. Okay, it seems we're having technical difficulties here. And we don't have any hold music. We really do need hold music. Mike, can we get hold music for LA? Something, preferably something kind of upbeat.
We have the Adigo hold music that everybody loves so much.
All right.
Can you tell an Irish joke, Michele, while we're waiting, please?
No.
Sorry, we'll get these slides up in a minute. Thanks for your patience.
Do you want to talk at a higher level, Stefan, in the interim, about what the
Absolutely. Thanks, Michele. I will do that. Let me start, and we'll get the, if we get the slides up, we'll show you. We're up, so we're fine. So I'll just go and sit there so I can. Okay, so let's try and make up the lost time. Thanks for your patience. The idea is to tell you a little bit, if I can work this, about Frogans, which is a new GTLD, but it's also a new tech that's being developed as a new software layer for the internet. What are we talking about? Well, you all know that basically the internet has three layers, the plumbing underneath, traffic and routing in the middle, and software up top. And this technology that's being developed by Frogans is something that will sit at that level up top where the World Wide Web sits now, or email, or things like that. The idea is to have something that allows a new site, a new type of site that is both totally multi-platform, totally multilingual and multi-script, and also extremely secure, fast to load, and able to be coded for any type of device. So we're looking at something that basically is difficult to do right now on the web. When you design websites, you do have to currently cater for different types of devices, different types of systems. Obviously, when the web was first designed, no one knew that we would have the variety of devices that we have today. So what you're looking at here is a prototype of a Frogans site, which has no set shape, which is why this example has such a complicated shape, just to show that the shape has no predetermined type. The content itself can be put in any, can be displayed in any type of text or language that you wish. You still obviously have the basic links and browsing systems and devices that you need. But that type of site would appear exactly the same way on any device. So whether you're looking at it on an iPad, on a tablet, on a smartphone, or on a computer, you'd still be seeing the same thing, which is obviously of interest to developers because it stops them having to redo what they've done for one device all over again for another. And the actual size of both the code and the sites is much smaller. So we're looking at something that isn't intending to replace anything that exists today. It's basically another possibility on top of what we have today, and a possibility that would fit nicely with obviously the multi-device ecosystem that we have, but with the kind of people that we're now seeing use the internet more and more, as we all know, and not necessarily coming to it using computers, desktops or portable computers. They're more often than not coming to it using smaller devices. So having small websites that are multi-platform and that can load in low bandwidth environments is a good thing, and it's something that this project is trying to do. One thing I should say is that the project itself has been set up with a non-profit that has all the technology within it called the OP3FT. We're not getting rid of acronyms. That's something that we'll keep. The idea is that the technology, if there is take-up and if the technology does launch well and have people on it that want to develop for this technology, it will always remain free and available to all. That there's an attempt to guarantee that by putting all the IP, intellectual property and the patents into a fund that's non-profit and that's outside of the realm of the commercial enterprise. So, I am talking to registrars, so I should talk a bit about addresses. And although there is a new GTLD in there, that has only been registered to secure the system as a whole. The idea is not to sell .frogan's domain names. There will be a few, but they will only be used by the registry itself. To secure the whole system, and Frogan's has been hard at it for the last 14 years developing this. So there's been a lot of thought going into the system as a whole, and the system includes a registry type of registrar type of arrangement, and it includes obviously addresses. And these are the addresses that have been coded for this system. So the format itself is different to what we know in the DNS on traditional domain names, in that first of all, there's a unique identifier that's here in this case, that's the star, that is used to identify Frogan's addresses. And the addresses themselves can be written in any script, and these are just a few examples of addresses and the way they can be written in native, Cyrillic, or whatever. There are three types of addresses that are being worked on at the moment. And these mirror what we have in the traditional domain name space. So the public addresses are basically domain names. They would all have, they're written in reverse to the domain names that we know and love. So you have the TLD first, as it were, Frogan's in this case being the TLD, star, and then any site name. Or you can have dedicated networks where the TLD is anything that someone wants to register, and that is basically just on the left here you have traditional domain names, and in the middle you have a TLD-like arrangement. On the right you have an internal type of address, which we won't go into for now in the interest of speed and time. I'll just go quickly over that, but I did want you to see both the first two types of addresses, because these are the ones that will be used by people who want to browse Frogan sites. So I mentioned the OP3FT. That's the fund that's been set up as a non-profit to promote and protect this technology. That ensures that the technology itself won't be sold, become someone else's property, not be freely available to all. And the idea behind that, the founders of the project really wanted to separate the development part of it with the commercial part of it to make sure that there would be no capture. So it's a bold way of launching something, because for them, in essence, it means they lose control of the technology, and that's what they want. They want the technology to be available to all. There is, though, as I mentioned earlier on, a registrar-type relationship. There's a core registry called the Frogan's Core Registry, which will... it has a direct relationship with the non-profit and will then contract with registrar-type partners to distribute the addresses. So this is where, in this community, we start to focus on the commercial possibilities, because everyone is able to connect to the registry and to start selling these addresses. So as a registrar, you would simply connect to the registry, sign a contract with the registry. There's no other accreditation required. There's no setup fee, and you can then start distributing these addresses. There are already a few testbed registry resellers already in operation, already distributing addresses, and the technology itself is being ramped up for distribution later on this year. So that's when the full launch will happen. And that's why we wanted to talk to the registrar community about this now, so that you would both be aware of what's going on with the Frogans technology itself and be aware that these opportunities for distributing new types of addresses are about to exist. So there's the timeline. We are looking at a sunrise type priority registration period around the September this year time. The TLD itself is already live, so the technological ecosystem already exists. And then a full rollout towards the end of this year, the beginning of next year. I don't have specific dates yet, and that's why I've not put them on the slides here. So this is very much an initial informal presentation into the Frogans ecosystem. It's a first step. Happy to take any questions, obviously. You can ask me, or we have someone else from Frogans. I'm looking around the room at the back. Do you want to come up, Romuald, so that everyone can at least see who you are? And you can talk to us both. I mean, we're happy to answer questions now, but I think you're pressed for time, Michele, and if you
are... We are quite pressed for time.
Right, so if you are, we're around, and we're happy to answer questions. Thanks for your time, and I hope...
Stefan. I've got a couple of people who are going to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
Christian from Larsen Jaeger. If you can explain short why we'd be signed up for this.
Thank you, Christian. That was the question I was going to ask, but you did it for me.
To make money, of course. The idea behind this is that there's a new technological rollout and new different types of sites. For now, you can choose to believe that the idea is far-fetched and that this will have no take-up, in which case, Christian, there isn't much interest in signing up. But as the technology rolls out, and if we do find ourselves with people wanting to use this technology, wanting to use simpler, multilingual, secure sites. One of the things that I didn't mention is that the Frogan sites are designed to be secure and do not allow, for example, malware or virus-type software to be loaded into a user's computer without their knowledge. That type of thing, if that does have some take-up, then obviously people will be coming to you guys asking you to register these addresses. So at this time, I understand that it's a bit early and that you have yet to get your heads around it, but that's why we're doing a first introduction, and as we see rollout of this technology, then we can talk about it again, and it may become more obvious.
Thank you, Stefan. Kelly, please, go ahead.
Kelly Salter, Dada Group. Can you bring up one of the websites that have been built in it so we can have a look? Because you said it's technology that's been around for a few years.
The technology has not been rolled out yet, so I can't show you
a
live site.
Show us one.
Okay. That's why I showed you an example that the model I showed you is a model. I can show you models for now, and when the technology rolls out on the timeline I showed you towards the end of the year, that's when we can show you live sites.
It would be good if Hogan's could do a few for their, you know, their website, just so we can see.
Absolutely.
This is what it looks like. Test it on multi-devices. See if we can, if it is secure. And give it to our development teams to put it through its paces.
Yeah, Kelly, that's absolutely right. There are still steps needed. The reason why you're not being given a firm date is that because this is an ambitious project that covers a lot of things, as you can see, they're still in the product testing phase, and they don't want to release until they're sure everything works and there are no issues with security, for example, or other things, you know, multilingualism or anything like that. So one of the things that I've told them as advisor to them is obviously that the quicker we have some concrete sites to show people, the quicker we have concrete dates, the better it is for everyone. So once again, the idea here is to let you know this exists, not to, you know, we haven't come with any contracts. And once there is a firm start date, we can come back and explain it to you then and show you some real sites.
Okay, I have a remote participant who is going to be channeled through the lovely Caitlin, and then I have the lady down there waving at me.
This question comes from John McCormick. Is this WAP 2.0 hyphen another web? WAP.
Stefan, so is it WAP 2.0 / another web?
Do I look technical to you, McKay?
Stefan, please, answer the question.
I have no idea. That's why I brought other people with me that won't come to the table. Mirel, do you want to try and answer that?
Yes, it's not another web.
Do you want to just introduce yourself?
Yeah. Okay, sorry. So my name is Romuald Huon from the OP3FT, and I am in charge of the promotion. So it's not an alternative software layer. It's an innovation on the internet, and our objective, our vision, is to allow a new type of publication. So with a Frogan site, you are not going to do the same thing that with a website. It's different, but it's not an alternative. Is in parallel, is not alternative.
Yep. Okay, I have two others. No, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I saw on the address that you put it that sign name. Is that sign name? Is that that's the last one that would be equivalent to the .com.net? So how is it going to? How are they related to the current GTLD systems?
You're talking about this, the site.
Yes.
Your question is the site name.
Yes.
That's just an example. It would be any name. So if you're reversing it, if you look at a standard domain name today, that's the part that's in front of the TLD.
So there's no more TLD ideas at all?
There's a TLD, but it's written in the way anyone would normally read it, which is any Latin or using a Latin alphabet, which is from left to right. If you look at some of these examples, I believe that, for example, in Arabic, it's written from right to left. So that's another thing that this technology is trying to solve. It's the fact that it's not based on Latin character type addresses only. If your language is written left to right, you read it that way, and if it's written right to left, you read it that way.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
I think we're going to have to close this off because we're already running over.
Thanks very much for having us.
Yeah, I think maybe we could have lots of interesting discussions around this, and there were several interesting questions that have been posed, but I have to hand over now to Bertrand. We're having a French afternoon. So Bertrand de la Chapelle, who's going to talk to us about the Internet Jurisdiction Project.
Oh, and we're moving upscale too, so that's good.
I think it's 5 minutes.
He will be brief. Okay, Bertrand, for the first time in your life, it's...
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Good afternoon, everybody, while the slides are loading. My name is Bertrand Lachapelle. A certain number of you have seen my face in various functions in this organization. I used to be the GAC representative for France, and I then was elected on the ICANN board until November last year. I'm here with Paul Fellinger, who's managing the Internet and Jurisdiction Project with me, which is fundamentally, in a nutshell, a dialogue process among stakeholders to address the tension between the cross-border nature of the Internet and the patchwork of national jurisdictions. I don't think there is a big need to elaborate on the environment and the tension between jurisdictions, because you are living that on a daily basis. You are selling your domains worldwide, and you know that the content that is hosted under those domains is accessible worldwide. That is the beauty of the web. That's the interest of the Internet. The challenge is that the international architecture and the international legal architecture is based on the patchwork of national jurisdictions. And so, without getting into too much detail, the challenge is that this patchwork of national legislations, especially for user-generated content or things that people are posting on their own that are not edited, it is extremely difficult to define what is the applicable law. And the fact that it is difficult to define the applicable law means that there are things that are legal in one country that are not legal in another one, and that as a consequence, there are transborder tensions and there are requests and there are desires to either take down some content or some domains themselves, take down content. If you can go, okay, that's the first slide. You can go to the second one, which is what I just said about the tension. Third one is basically the 4 points that I will address. You can move to the next one, which is, one, the challenge of applicable laws. When you have platforms, that was the previous one. When you have platforms or your services, you're serving the world, and there are different applicable laws. And this is an issue that is growing increasingly, leading to the second point, which is the most important one, the rise of cross-border requests to intermediaries. These requests are being made to platforms that can be Facebook, Google, and others that are hosting content. But they can be made as well to DNS operators, the registries, and increasingly potentially, correct me if I'm wrong, towards registrars. Country X is not satisfied with the content that is hosted under a specific domain name or under a specific username on a platform. And they're trying a certain number of tools. They're trying to get the mutual legal assistance treaties to work, which do not work because it requires a certain number of prerequisites that are not satisfied. And as a result, you are confronted, like many other intermediaries, with the challenge of receiving a request that is based on the law of another country. It doesn't necessarily fit with the law of your country or the law of the country where you're incorporated. There are relatively few provisions in your terms of service that relate to what should happen in those cases. And increasingly, you are, just like other operators, under the requests of making a determination, which is a quasi-judiciary determination, under a penalty of having the sites blocked in the country, under a penalty of having difficulties operating in the country, etc. And so, next slide is fundamentally, the current situation is not really sustainable. It is not sustainable because the fact that private operators are making quasi-judiciary decisions is not comfortable for a lot of actors, but also because the reasoning that allows you to say we are located in country X and therefore it's the law of country X that applies will not hold forever, because increasingly the governments who are in the other sites are beginning to adopt national legislations to try to apply their jurisdiction extraterritorially or to develop rules that say any operator, it's less true for you but more for platforms, you need to have operations or data in all countries so that we can apply our national law. So this is threatening the very nature of the internet as a cross-border platform, and to be frank, the very nature of your own business and the interest of your users who can buy a domain name from anywhere in the world. So next slide. The consequence is that there is a need for some form of transnational due process mechanism that handles those requests and allows you, like other like registries and like platforms, to receive requests that are correctly formatted, that have all the information, and that allow you to manage them in a way that is much more accountable and recognized as today. This slide is about the project itself, and it's the last slide, given the time. The project was launched in 2012. It is about getting the different actors around the table. We have organized 13 different meetings in more than 10 countries, including four that were held last year in Brazil, Paris, India, and Washington. We've held outreach events in more than 20 countries with the different categories of actors, and the whole process is currently involving more than 70 entities. To name a few, this includes the governments of the United States, many European governments, including Germany, Sweden, Netherlands, France, and the UK, but also the governments of Brazil, India, Uruguay, and a few others. Among operators, it includes the main platforms, Facebook, Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, CCTLD operators, AUDA, CGIBR, NICSI for India, .fr and CIRA, and civil society actors, law enforcement agencies, including Interpol, Europol, local law enforcement agencies. And the goal is to bring around the table, I forgot to mention, OECD, Council of Europe, and European Commission. The goal is to bring around the table actors to develop a framework for transborder requests. The Observatory has 32 international experts that produce a newsletter every month that you are highly encouraged to subscribe to. And if you can look, put the next slide. The goal is to have a transnational due process framework on domain seizures, content takedown, and access to user data. And the next slide is, without getting into details, and the goal is here just to make a teaser and establish a contact with you. The framework will have six building blocks that I will not detail. I'm here just to mention that we've been in contact with Michele and a few other people from your community. We would really like, Paul and I are just the facilitator of this process. The goal is to expand the number of actors who are participating and extend, in particular, to engage the registrars much more, because today, one of the big challenges is that, to be absolutely frank, when very large platforms like Facebook, Google, and the others have the capacity to resist those pressures, when large registries have the capacity to resist those pressures, in many cases, registrars are one of the weak links, and you will be submitted to a lot of pressure regarding domain seizures. And one of the objectives is to define not only the procedures, but also a level of principles that establish that the domain name level is not a content control panel, and that the only conditions under which domain name seizures should really contemplate it as a solution is when there are propagation of malware, phishing, or activities that are really harming the whole infrastructure, and that the conditions under which domain seizures are the appropriate solution for content-related issues should be extremely narrowly defined and set with an amount of caution that is not the case at the moment. So the goal is to provide for the whole community, be it platforms or be it DNS operators, a set of principles and procedures that will allow a form of harmonization of the procedure, if not the harmonization of content. I hope it was useful. The last slide is just the reference if you want to contact us afterwards. The address is internetjurisdiction.net. Please subscribe to the mailing list. We would love to have, as I said, we've been interacting with Michele. If there's one or two other actors in the community that would be willing to interface more so that we can discuss further, I'd be happy to.
Thank you, Bertrand. I'm very conscious of time and everything else, so if anybody wants to follow up, okay, I'll let one person.
Does this project, your edition project, covers the web contents, right, basically? And if it does, you cover the whole criminal activities and intellectual properties related issues?
Good question. The work has been conducted during two years. The objective and the end result has been to narrow the scope to what is really requiring a particular action. We do not cover, the focus is not on copyright, trademark, and things like that. It's mostly on user-generated content that triggers tensions between jurisdiction. Typically, situations where something is legal in one country and not legal in another one. And as I said earlier, and this is a very important message to you and registries, the goal for that aspect of domain seizures is to make sure that domain seizures, whenever they happen, related to content, I'm not talking copyright here, related to content, are absolutely necessary, and there is no other level more granular that can be addressed. And I think this is one of the important elements that need to be documented at the moment. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bertrand.
Yeah,
okay, Volker.
domain name takedowns are one solution, but when we're dealing with content, it seems much more practical to also bring the hosting service providers to the table,
yes,
who are not represented at ICANN because they are not directly involved with domain names. So is this effort also directed at hosting service providers, and how are they involved?
This is an extremely valid question. We have started with really a minimal set of actors. The hosting providers is clearly a category that we're now trying to engage, because they are the next ones on the line if we want to move from touching the DNS towards addressing the actual content. The more granular it's needed, the more it goes to hosting. The hosting providers that are fully part are the large platforms, blog hosting, when Google has blog posts and things like that, or Facebook or the rest. But the hosting providers for individual sites is not yet in the landscape, and it's part of the next round of actors. Thanks for the question. It is in the picture. Recommendations for contacts, by the way, is welcome.
Thanks very much, Bertrand. If anybody needs to follow up with Bertrand or wants to be put in touch with him, he's not hard to find. He's the flamboyant Frenchman. Exactly. Flamboyant Frenchman with white hair floating around. You'll find him somewhere in the building at some point. If not, just let me know and I'll put you in touch with him. Thanks. Go on.
It's not a question, it's very short. Since ICANN already spent so much money on the TMCH, and maybe in the future this TMCH database should make available to anybody. So if any websites, any contents that has the trademark intellectual property related issue, they should check that database first. Just my comment, my thought.
Yeah, the registries have joined us. I believe Mr. Drazek is out there somewhere. Apologies for the delay. We ran over slightly with the board, which had a domino effect. And thank you for coming in to join us today. We appreciate it. We had reached a gentleman's agreement that on this occasion the registries would come to us.